Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kareem Jackson's already the center of the drama in Denver. We'll tell you why in 25 minutes. Jamesy Hedebo in the building right now. He's going to talk about the Patrick Peterson PED suspension, his takes on it in 24 minutes as well. But right now, Astros in Boston to take on the Boston Red Sox. And I got to tell you, every time I think about the Astros having to go to Boston, I kind of cringe a little bit. Not because I don't think they can handle their own, but because of this damn song right here. This song annoys the living hell out of me, John Lopez.
You got a mask guy in the room,
yeah,
man.
This, buddy.
This is terrible.
Is it the eighth inning when they play at Fenway? I'm sure you've been here.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You gotta love this song.
No, hell no. I hate the Red Sox. I hate this. I hate everything about it.
Jeez, can't hate greatness.
I love the song. I just think it's like gotten a little, it's like it overplayed
just,
now.
It just reminds you of the Red Sox when you hear it.
Though. Yeah, exactly.
You know? Hey, shout out to the Bruins, by the way.
Dude.
What are they playing?
I saw a stat.
What are they doing?
Killing it. Sweep. Get your broom
You're talking
out.
About the UCLA yeah. Bruins? The who?
Ha, 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 ha. Really
what are, who are the Bruins? Who are the Bruins? What do they do?
Oh, man.
What do they play?
I'm telling you.
Oh,
it's
geez.
Boston is so freaking spoiled.
They call it Title Town for a reason.
Dude. You can't hate greatness.
I'm sorry.
No, you can't. I'm just saying it's frustrating. Boston teams,
yes.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, have gone to 28 trips to the conference championship since 2002.
Wow.
Did you hear that?
That leaves me speechless.
Nah, I zoned out.
I'm proud to be a masshole. I'm sorry.
I know.
You know, I have to say. Title
terrible.
Town.
Terrible. Terrible. Alex Bregman, not a fan of Boston or the Red Sox. This is Alex Bregman talking about why he hates Boston and why he likes to stick it to Boston following the Red Sox ending the Astros season last year. Alex Bregman, he was on his YouTube channel, and he had this to say about Boston.
They got the better of us. A few of the guys on our team were banged up. Now, that's not an excuse at all. They played really well, and they played really good baseball there. But there's no other city that I would like to beat more this year than Boston.
Well, he's got his chance tonight, but he's going to have to fight through what I consider the worst stadium song that they play at stadiums. But Figgy Fig, you got a list. The OG John Lopez got a list. The best and worst stadium songs that are played at sporting events. Take it away, Figgy.
All right, which one you want me to start with, the best or the worst?
Let's start with the best.
All right, so one of my favorite ones that's played in stadiums is this one. You and me.
That's Mike Tyson's jam.
I love this song. When this song come on, I just get goosebumps, especially when the game about to start.
Nah.
That's a good one. I like that. I like that a lot.
Who's playing this at the game, bro?
Oh,
they played this at the Brown Stadium.
Yeah, I got
Baker Mayfield singing
this.
That's
why they lose.
You got Baker Mayfield singing this?
Yeah.
That's why
they lose. Singing this like pregame.
That's why they lose. All right, so that's one of the best. What else we got?
The best one I like is Clips. When they play this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go wrong with this beat.
Pharrell made the beat, right?
Yep, Neptune. Shout out
Pharrell
to the Neptune.
Pharrell made the beat. And he's doing like this stuff with it. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how often I hear that at the stadium, but to each his own, Figgy. To each his own. What else we got? What are the worst ones?
The worst one, this one, I hate this one right here so much.
Oh, God.
I feel you.
JJ likes it.
Turn down for what?
Yeah.
Is that what we got?
Yeah.
All right, what else?
All right, this one, people usually play this one whenever the home team wins.
Oh, yeah. That's not bad, that when you win. When you win, this is a nice one.
This song is
especially
so corny.
If it's a close game.
You put the hands up. Yeah. And then it goes crazy. All right, not a bad list, Figgy, but the OG John Lopez
James,
put one together, too.
What were the anthems they played like in Detroit and Baltimore when you were there that you knew?
Oh, man.
Did they have like a song that they always played like that?
Jay-Z Encore. We played that in Baltimore a lot. So Fig, if you can pull that one. one that I did like, and they only played in Pittsburgh, is Renegade by the Sticks.
Oh, I love that song. They played that
they
in Pittsburgh?
Played
I don't
Pittsburgh,
remember that.
Yeah, right around their third quarter when they need a big stop. And pretty insane.
When I was in, I think, high school or right out of high school, I played on a softball team. We were called the Renegades, named after that song.
What position did you play, J-Lo?
I pitched. Yeah. What, is that funny?
Slow pitch?
I put some jelly on that thing, man.
Said I pitched. Can I get an
encore? Oh, God. The Linkin Park Jay-Z thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, not about
That's
that.
Good.
What's your list, J-Lo? Because I know a lot of people were a pretty big fan of your list earlier today.
Thank you. Thank you. These are the five worst songs in stadiums that I saw. Figgy, you got the first one? It's like kind of like Sweet Caroline. For a while there, it was big time. But then the guy who played it and composed it got in some serious trouble and some things he didn't do it. And it's fallen on the wayside.
Oh.
Okay. Gary Glitter. I guess we're having some trouble back there. let me ask you this while we're waiting, because I was going to ask you this earlier, and then we went straight to the songs. You could be entering your senior year in high school in Boston.
Yep.
And you have experienced 18 championships already. Seniors in high school, going into the
junior. Do you really experience it when you're one, though?
Well, you know, so you experience it. For a person who went to UMass and you know the surrounding colleges, I mean, we have like five colleges right in Western Mass, let alone Boston College and all the others. But that's what makes it like a party school, is when your hometown sports teams are winning championships at every sport.
And but think about that, like every year of there's a championship for every year of your life.
Yeah,
that Boston teams have won.
I know, it was insane. Like I was a sophomore in college when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl.
Is that right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about when the Red Sox won their first championship?
Wow.
2004,
yeah. I was, junior.
Golly, that's incredible. I bet you that town went nuts.
Oh, insane. We had riots. So, so the first time with the Patriots, just a quick story, the city wasn't ready for it. They didn't know what to expect when we won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids just rioted. I mean, literally dorm rooms filtered out. People were flipping cars, lighting stuff on fire. These are college kids. I think one kid jumped off the Diamond Commons and broke his leg. But, hey, in college, crazy stuff.
All right, so the five worst stadium songs. I think you probably have some of these experience with these songs. Number five worst. Oh. Rock and Roll Part 2, Gary Glitter.
This isn't bad because of the song, though.
The song got a little old.
It's old. Like, if I hear this, I'm like, turn this off. You got to be kidding me.
Exactly. But he also got in trouble with sexual misconduct. Oh. And so people have stopped playing it in stadiums.
Especially the stadium I wish, R. Kelly.
And if I never hear this next song again, it'll
be I Believe I Can Fly.
And Figgy, if I never hear this next song again, it'll be too soon.
This is the worst.
Yeah.
This was never good.
Never.
Like, this isn't old. This is anything. This was never good. I don't even understand why anyone would want this played at a stadium. What is this supposed to do for you?
This like reminds me of like going like roller skating as a kid.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't.
Exactly. The third worst song in stadiums today and all time.
Who let the dogs out?
This is a jam, though. Oh, I like this one.
It had its shelf life.
I like this one.
It had a shelf life, but it's just too much.
I think this one brings it. Especially after you make like a defensive stop.
No.
I guess.
For sure.
No.
No, you lose respect.
Yippee-i-yo.
I don't care if you stop us for a key third down. You play this after.
Yippee-i-yo.
I'm pissed that we're losing to you right now.
Yippee-i-yo.
Number two.
Hey, now, you're an all-star.
This has no business being played in any stadium.
And it is. It's always played.
Jam now, man.
Baseball in particular.
It's a jam, dude. They're Warriors fans.
And as much as I respect the guy, the worst song in stadiums.
Bring it.
They don't play this anymore.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. I haven't heard this in the stadium.
Everyone off your feet.
Nah, ain't no one playing this. Dude.
Maybe the Miami Dolphins stadiums.
Now, I'm a big intro song guy. I love intro songs.
Oh, yeah.
So my five best songs at stadiums are I like the intro. I like to get in the crowd all pumped up and everything. This is number five.
This is right before kickoff. Right before kickoff,
this is when everybody's jumping down.
You're looking up.
Players, too. Yeah, players.
It's going down. The referee's on there. It's a commercial break.
Yeah, this will give me some goosebumps.
Yeah, it will.
Getting pumped. Everybody's just getting pumped. Everybody's jumping, losing control, and then all of a sudden the kickoff comes. It's game time. This is what that is. This lets you know what it is. The only time it's not good is when they're doing it in Happy Valley. Penn State, quit ruining this song. Y'all don't need to be doing this. Anybody else, y'all go ahead and do that. This gets you ready for the game. You're ready to go. You know, as soon as you hear this and you're at the concession stand, you just got your beer, you better get your ass back in your seat because you got to see kickoff. And then kickoff, boom.
And that's number five. Number four could well be number one. I like all the next four. What was UMass's intro song?
No, I'm not feeling
like this
one. I'm sorry. I'm not feeling this one. I'm not having flashbacks sitting here. Sorry.
All right, let's go to number three then. Maybe he's heard this one.
No, thanks.
The guys are all rocking back and forth in the tunnel, getting ready to come out.
Nah. It doesn't work up to anything. It gets slower.
It's Kanye, man.
Yeah, but it gets slower, doesn't it?
The song is called Power, though.
Your number five right now is number one.
Number five probably is number one. Because I kind of you don't worry about the Rick Astley. I Rick rolled him earlier when we did this. But I also did one especially for all my Aggie friends and Landry Locker. Yeah, baby. That's the best stadium song right there.
Aggie wore him,
baby. Darn right. Do you still know the words to all your UMass fight song?
No. I mean, I do.
You're a Hall of Famer.
If I hear it,
you'll pick it up.
Then I'll pick it up.
Yeah. You're a Hall of Famer, man.
I haven't been to UMass in like 10 years.
Damn.
Go you. UMass.
So what are the closest schools by UMass?
We have
colleges.
Wow. We have Amherst College, Hampshire College.
Boston's incredible.
Boston College.
Incredible.
Jeez. There's...
And all around Harvard.
Smith College, Harvard.
Okay.
BU. Man, we have like 10.
It's incredible.
Within like an hour apart from each, hour and a half apart from each other.
10-year NFL vet, Super Bowl champ James Ihedebo in the building with Landry Locker, John Lopez. Big news in the NFL yesterday. Patrick Peterson popped for PEDs. Apparently he was using a mask as well as a PED. He's going to serve a 6-game suspension next year. At the start of the season or at the start of this season. What are your thoughts on that, James? What are your thoughts on the whole process? Because I know you know a little bit about the whole process and the punishment and
well,
what happens.
Before you answer that, let's lay it out for our listeners. You were suspended for four games.
Yeah.
All right, so that's why I wanted to ask you about this and get someone who has actually experienced the entire process from the testing to the resolution. So take us through... What is that like?
Often guys get random piss tests, and you could be at home, you could be on vacation, and you'll just get a call or a text message saying we plan to test you at X amount day time, be there. If you have any discrepancy, or really if you're really traveling, they'll ask for your flight itinerary and then verify and reschedule a different date. So this is what happens throughout off season. It happens during the season. For me personally, I went through my same regiment. I had people that I've worked with outside of football in terms of getting my body maintained. One thing that people need to understand is as an NFL player, you invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in terms of your body and what you take dietary wise, supplement wise, preparing yourself for the next season because that's your moneymaker, right? And so for myself, I've been taking the same things that I took for years.
The whole time, man.
Years upon. And lo and behold, you do an off-season test or during the season test and you test positive. The process is you sit down, you have an opportunity to explain yourself, they meet and kind of just, lay your case out there. They'll decide in the committee of the NFL and then rule their decision.
Right.
The issue is with the NFL substance or banned substance policy mm-hmm. is yearly it is changing.
Yeah.
And they're putting it in fine print. They're mailing it out to guys. But rarely do any player, and I'm just speaking for myself, rarely did I sit down and read through.
I go line for line.
Line for yeah. line. Mm-hmm. What is the new? What's on the new banned substance list?
Right.
And so that.
Is that what happened with you?
That's what happened with me. Mm-hmm. You know, personally, and, you know, other guys, it's happened to, you know, Julian Edelman. There's a number of guys that have been on this list of, you know, failed PEDs.
Mm-hmm.
The issue with this Patrick, you know, Peterson situation mm-hmm. is that not only did he fail for a PED, but he was also taking a cover-up agent.
A masking agent.
A masking agent, mm-hmm. which, you know, from my logic, it tells me, well, then you knew what you were taking was wrong, and then you tried to cover that up. So it's a completely different argument. Because at first you see, you know, across the screen, six-game suspension for PEDs.
Yeah.
And
you almost can relate.
And everyone's like, everyone's like, wait, even I can relate to like, oh, wait, six-game suspension? Like, I thought it was a four-game suspension.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you equate to a six-game suspension domestic violence. And mm-hmm. so it's like, wait, why is it such a harsh
because you have the masking
until
agent.
Until you have the masking agent, until you learn the facts and see, you know, what it is. And, you know, the guy's in the later part of his career. He wants to get traded. He wants to, you know.
Right.
Everyone has their own reasons. I don't justify it.
Right.
But
how did you handle the people and the reputation aspect of it? What did you do?
Well,
like, because people are going to be all of a sudden, ahead of Bo, you know.
I mean, I'm blessed that, you know, my character and who I am off the field and who I am on the field speaks mm-hmm. volumes. So I really didn't have a decline in reputation, you know, and I guess that's part of, you know, who I am.
Did
and
you people. Explain, hey, this was just.
Yeah, of course. And I was open. And that's one of the things that when you're open about any mistake that you made and you're able to speak about it mm-hmm. and give an understanding, then people appreciate that, whether they, you know,
totally
deserve to have that or not. And then the other part of that is, you know, who are you? What are you, a guy that's notorious for getting into trouble and having, you know, issues off the field and so forth? That carries a lot of weight as well. But, you know, with the situation with Patrick Peterson, this is a guy who's, you know, highly respected, you know, throughout the NFL. I mean, arguably the best corner in the NFL since the departure of Darrelle Revis. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could argue that. So to see, you know, him fall to, you know, the banned substance and PED, infraction here, then everyone's question is,
right,
you're an 8-time Pro Bowler. Is this something that you've been doing throughout your entire career?
Right.
You know?
Do players care about it, like other players, you think? I mean, because some fans couldn't care less about it. Some get up in arms about it. Do other players care about it?
Can I speak freely?
Of course.
Yeah.
Always.
You know, players don't care.
Yeah.
Players want to win. And what guys care about is, are you holding the rope? Are you committed to this team? Are mm-hmm. you committed to us and to winning? And whatever whatever falls under that, whatever it takes to win, mm-hmm. they're okay with that. And then, you know, I hear, you know, people probably in the background saying, well, now he's suspended six games. Is he helping his team now? No, he isn't. But if he wasn't suspended six games and had six interceptions in that same span, would he be helping his team? So,
right,
you know, it's what guys look at as, you know, the pros and cons, if that's a route they're going to take. And I will say this, he's not the only guy.
Well,
he's not.
You said this briefly, and I want to, you know, emphasize it, because I know this and Landry knows this, but a lot of people may not. That list changes every single year of the banned substances. And number two, you say players spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on making sure that they can still hone these finely tuned machines that are their bodies. That is not an exaggeration. It's hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally, and I could just talk about myself. I had a doctor that I went and saw every year based out of Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and he would literally do head-to-toe tests on me.
Mm-hmm.
Test my blood levels, because you got to understand, during a football season, you're taking Toradol, you're taking all these inflammation medications, and you don't know what that does to your livers and your organs that you're taking consistently in a short period of time just to play on a Sunday. And so I'll do tests to see my blood levels, to see where I'm at.
White blood cells,
all of that, my blood pressure, everything. I mean, he, even through those tests,
mm-hmm.
he showed me that, you know, I have a precondition in my body for diabetes that I didn't even know about. Mm-hmm. Just the configuration is there for the right atmosphere.
And this is muscular too, like how to maximize your,
all of that. Yeah. So, and you go through and it's an investment, so you get optimal performance. Mm-hmm. So now you know the exact foods, whether you're allergic to something, you know exact amount of food to eat for the optimal performance for your body. And then at the end of the day, it's worth it because you
get another contract.
Yeah, you get another contract. You know, so
it's 10-year NFL vet, Super Bowl champ Jamesy Hedeba. We'll talk more about this Patrick Peterson around the NFL. We're going to talk about Kareem Jackson as well. He's already the center of controversy there in Denver. Kind of surprising for Kareem Jackson to be there, but we'll tell you why and how and what people are saying about him in Denver. But right now, Pong Bowl, we're about 25 hours away from the Pong Bowl party tomorrow at Twin Peaks 290 out there, 2 p.m., Sports Radio 610. We've already got seven people representing in the loop. You can win $1,000 if you win this tournament, $500 for second, $250 for third. Everybody's going to be out there partying, but you can win some money as well. And we know everybody wants to represent in the loop. Your opportunity to do so coming up right now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.